Welcome to the Gym Podcast. Uncut, unfiltered, unreal.
Welcome everyone to the Gym Podcast. Welcome folks. I'm your host, Jimbo Fisher. Joining me this week, as always, is the one, the only, Randy Darsh.
Hello everybody. It seems like the delay before you say my name gets a little longer every week, so I might have to start introducing myself sometimes, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm excited to talk about an exciting week of football. I know you had a little bit of a depressing week. We're going to talk about that game because I have some really good notes.
Oh, really?
Of the Wisconsin game, because it was very reminiscent of games I have seen my team play in, and I'll explain why a little later.
Okay.
We have some Gym Podcast listener input that we're going to go down a little bit as well. But for now, why don't we just go ahead and go down the list of games from last week? Because we had some very important games as far as like implications for the playoff and all that goes. Are you ready?
I think I'm ready. I'm ready to talk about my pain. But
let's start with the Thursday and Friday games first.
Let's go
first
with that.
Of all, yeah, we'll delay the pain a little bit.
Okay.
So Thursday night, 7-0 Pittsburgh. Still undefeated, blows out Syracuse 41-13. And Syracuse is 5-2 and actually pretty decent this year.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, do they have a legitimate playoff spot shot at this point? They still have to play at SMU and they still have to play Clemson.
Yeah, I think it actually comes down to the Clemson game because I think they'll beat SMU no problem. I think Clemson is their one chance to really make a statement. Even though Clemson isn't that good per se this year, I think the Clemson brand, like the Clemson name, still means something, unfortunately. And I think that's I think that's really their only possible loss here. I mean, they dominated Syracuse, dude. I think the stat of that game, Kyle McCord, 5 interceptions. There were like 3 in the first quarter, I think.
Jeez.
I remember CFP Cord was like popping off, just making
I think it was 3 pick sixes as well. You're just not going to win with 3 pick sixes.
It's brutal. So, I mean, Pitt, I'll say this for what it's worth. And maybe I'm kind of being offensive to some Penn State fans here. But I would kind of like to see Pitt in the playoffs. I think it'd be kind of fun. Them or Miami. I'd be cool with either of those teams making the playoffs. Clemson, not so much. Come on. They don't deserve that.
Everybody wants to see new blood. I get it.
Exactly.
You know, Clemson is quietly, very quietly, 6-1. Granted, they've played nobody.
Exactly.
But, I mean, they are 6-1. So we're going to see how that works out. I mean, in all likelihood, let's be honest here, the most likely, you know, representative for the ACC is going to be Clemson.
Yeah.
But we'd like to see some fun scenarios because Miami's still undefeated.
All right.
SMU is sitting at 7-1. Pittsburgh is 7-0. Like, we have some good end of season conference games coming up.
Yeah.
That are not going to be really important to look at because I think, you know, based on how the season has gone, I think we're getting a clear picture that, let's face it, the SEC is going to get probably 4, maybe 5 teams
at least
in
five.
This rate.
At least 5, yeah.
Because let's just be honest. Would you take SEC number 5 or ACC number 2? Like a head-to-head matchup, who do you think wins?
SEC.
Not even going to put two
names. And I'll say this in the defense of the SEC haters. I don't even know if it's so much as like the SEC being great as it is the other conferences just really being bad. It's a bit of both. You know what I mean? Like there's no
I
depth.
With you, dude.
Yeah. There's no depth.
Like, these number 2 teams and kind of lesser Power 5 conferences just look sloppy.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe it. They look sloppy and not as well coached. But, like, the top of the SEC or, like, you know, SEC number 5 is going to be...
Mm-hmm.
They look like a team that just needs to hit another gear that has a lot of potential.
Yeah.
While you don't see that same potential in ACC number 2, for example.
We're going to get 3 Big Ten teams, 5 SEC teams, and they can have fun with the other 4. I think that's probably what's going to happen this year.
But I think that's not the worst setup in the world. It's going to be a little redundant to have a bunch of SEC teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I settle it on the field kind of thing. I get it.
Yeah.
But the way the conference is set up is we're likely to not have that many SEC versus SEC rematches.
That's true.
Just because we can't play everybody in the conference. So that's
going
to be kind of cool.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Let's move on to other games then. Speaking of playoff implications, we talked about this game. Boise State, UNLV. Boise State came out on top. 29-24. Were you able to watch this game? I remember being on pretty late.
It was on very late, and I watched it. It's very interesting how Boise State, they have Ashton Jeantee, who is extremely good. He got 200 rushing yards versus Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
you know, Boise State's a very legitimate team, and they've proven their ability to hang in versus literally the number one team in the nation.
Yeah.
I know the term quality loss gets thrown around as like a meme, but in their case, I think it actually rings true to lose 37-34 at Oregon.
Yeah.
One thing I find very interesting about their team, though, is they don't like solely rely on him for their offense. He almost acts as a decoy for the majority of their plays. Like their quarterback still throws the ball a lot of times per game. You know, for example, he threw it 33 times this game, and GNT only got 33 carries. I say only, but you know what
it's
I mean.
Even offense, yeah, it's like 50-50.
They don't just put the offense on him. In the Oregon game, their quarterback had 40 passing attempts. Mm-hmm. They're a very pass-heavy offense, but they don't, you know, take too much away from Ginty. It's very interesting how that works out.
Yeah, and I mean, for the good news for Boise State is I do think that UNLV was kind of their last huge test. They just have to not goof up for the remaining five games of the season, and I think they'll be a lock for the G5 spot in the playoffs. I mean, they might even be ranked higher than 12 at that point, man. They're 15 right now. I mean, they've got plenty of room to just keep winning and kind of inching up as other teams lose, you know? So
That's a huge if to not goof up, because we know what the sport can be like.
We do, but they, I don't know. They don't seem fraudulent. I think they're going to do it.
No, I agree with you. They look like a well-coached, well-put-together team with a good identity that knows what they're doing, so I can respect that.
That reminds me, this is a huge segue, but I do want to talk about it at some point today. Well-coached teams. Is now a good time to talk about the high school game I went to?
Go for it.
I went to a high school football game this weekend, folks. For the first time in like a decade, probably, since I was in high school or whatever. The Verona High School, the Wildcats. We love the Wildcats here. Are undefeated, and I guess like one of the best teams in the entire state of Wisconsin. You could tell they were a well-coached team. At one point, like they were up 20-0 at half. And at one point, they were doing like a two-minute drill kind of a thing with like a minute left or whatever. And there was like maybe 15 seconds on the clock. And, you know, the guy gets the first down. And the entire team is just like so like effortless. They all got exactly where they needed to go to spike the ball within like 2 seconds of the clock running. You know, just like an NFL team would do. And I thought, my God, this team is coached better than probably my beloved Wisconsin Badgers, if I'm being real. So I say all of that to say good coaching knows no conferences or boundaries. Like, you could have good coach teams in high school that are disciplined and don't penalize themselves. You know what I mean? It was just, like, really interesting to see that in person for once.
Yeah. That's a very good point. I'm glad you had fun at the game. Go West.
Go West, yeah. Also, I saw a Tennessee recruit. There's a Tennessee recruit there. His name is Teo. Or not Teo. Sorry, his name is Trey. His name is Trey. He's a cornerback. And he wears the number 3. Trey.
Man.
3. And that's how you can tell
he's corny, but I like it.
He's SEC caliber. He looked like an SEC caliber guy because he had like, he had the dreads where like half of his head was like black and the other half was the blonde. You know what I'm saying? He looks like XXX.
Yeah, that's an SEC corner if I've ever seen one.
And I'm like, this kid is going to make it. I just know he's going places. So it was really cool to see him in person. So had to get that out of the way. It was really fun to go.
Nice. All right. So I guess we're going to move on to the Saturday games. Let's go ahead and we'll go ahead and knock it out of the way so we can, so you know, you can kind of breathe a sigh of relief.
Mm-hmm.
The Penn State Wisconsin game. So my take on this game is actually, first of all, we needed to talk about the production quality because that's something we made a note about.
Yes, yes.
I tuned into both this game and the Texas A&M LSU game,
okay,
kind of back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And the production quality is just night and day between the two games.
Really?
I made this comment at the beginning of the Wisconsin game that NBC, while you guys were running out of the tunnel, I said NBC has already completely ruined the Wisconsin game and ruined what is probably a super loud, awesome, electric environment.
It was fun.
It sounded so muffled and dead. There was no crowd noise while the team was running out. There was zero crowd noise.
Yeah.
There was no band noise. And you could just see them, like, band members moving up and down, bobbing their heads with their instruments.
Yeah. Nothing.
And the announcers sounded like they were screaming into a pillow.
Yeah, that was me.
Meanwhile, watching the Texas A&M LSU game, the crowd noise was so loud that you really got to feel how loud it was in the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
The announcers could be heard crisply over them, but not like louder than the crowd noise, but they were still more intelligible than the crowd noise, if that makes sense.
Right.
And they had the bands mic'd up, so each band cheer was like super loud, and you could hear cheering with the band, like the chants and whatever. And it felt like you were at the game when you watched the Texas A&M LSU game. So there is a huge problem with NBC's presentation. I hated that for you guys to be in this important of a primetime game and have it ruined.
Yeah, I owe Notre Dame an apology, I guess, because I will say Camp Randall was quite rocking, especially by like the end of the first half when like Wisconsin took the lead and it was like, oh my god, what are we doing right now? We might do this. You know, it was about as bumping as I've ever seen it, certainly. You know, full house, obviously, at night. Very, very loud. And yeah, I don't know. The game, I mean, Randy, I'll say this, man. Now that I've seen both Alabama in person and a team like Penn State in person, I'm gonna be real, folks. Alabama looked so much better. It's not even close how much better Alabama is than Penn State. So you should probably feel okay about that, I think, right?
I think it boils down to, you can kind of tell when a team has a higher ceiling than what they're playing at versus when, okay, this probably is their ceiling.
Yeah. Well, Penn State's clearly got a ceiling. I'll say this. This is how I would describe it, right? When we were playing Alabama, it was like every time that we were on defense and Bama was on offense, it was like I was just like clenching myself. Like at any moment, you know, Bama could pop off and like break out like a 60-yard touchdown. You know what I mean? Whereas with Penn State, even when they were driving, it was like there never felt like there was a risk of them like going for anything more than 20 yards. You know, like they never had like a single huge play where they, like, you know, bombed it out, like, 50 yards downfield or something, you know? And it's, like, they're somehow good, but, like, they're not explosive like Bama, you know?
And I feel like you do need to have that explosiveness to really go far in the playoffs, no matter who you are. I mean, that's what really sets Ohio State apart in the Big Ten, really, is their ability to have explosive plays. It makes you, like, nervous when the other team is offense. You're kind of clenching up a little bit, like, please, come on, just hold them, come on, like, desperate to survive the drive.
Because, like, if Penn State's behind in, like, a playoff game, like, I have no faith that they're going to be able to get it done. Like, I don't think Penn State's going to play well from behind, right? And you need to, ultimately, when you're facing good teams every now and then, so.
You know what I thought was funny was it really, watching with the Wisconsin game, it felt like an Alabama loss whenever we lose. Maybe not quite as theatrical. No, like the whole, okay, their quarterback goes down, backup quarterback comes in, and he ends up going freaking 90% completion percentage.
Ridiculous.
Leading a comeback win, plays out of his mind. We're probably never going to see this kid ever play another snap of college football.
No.
He just has this one amazing game in him. You also got the Alabama penalty experience where you got very blatantly screwed on the call, but everyone acts like you got it right or you got all the calls of the game.
It was,
I
don't know. I kind of put this loss really on our offense more than anything. I think the defense did fine. People forget. I mean, Braden Locke, despite being in October, did throw a pick six. So, I mean, ultimately we did hold Penn State to just 21 points on offense, which I want to say is their... It's tied for the fewest points of offense that Penn State has scored all seasons. Like, I feel good about our defense, but man, what the hell? We had so many drop passes. We couldn't get anything going on the run game. Our offensive line looked like children out there compared to Penn State. And it's just, I'm hurt.
Your defense looked better. Your defensive line especially looked a lot better. I can tell your team is improving. You should be happy with Fickell.
Yeah. Just be patient. Let's do it the right way, man. I still like Fickell. I think Longo, though, Phil Longo is probably not. He's probably not the guy. Our offensive coordinator.
It's hard to tell what needs to cook, but something needs to cook a little bit more. Really hard to tell. I like the dairy raid. The dairy raid is very fun to watch. It's a unique offense.
It's got moments, you know, but I think part of the dairy raid people don't really understand is that it does need a good run game for it to all work. Because you need to kind of like, you know, have a pretty big playbook, I think, in order to like open up your passing game, right? One final thing I'm going to say about Penn State, and I noticed this while I was there. You know, I commented earlier this season on how all Alabama fans wore polos, for example. All Penn State fans wear white hoodies. And not only that, I noticed this thing. Every male Penn State fan looks exactly the same. And they all look like Drew Aller. They're white, obviously.
Because you have the ultimate broccoli.
It's the hair.
Haircut.
And even broccoli or not, it's all, everyone has like the black hair. It's like black hair on the whitest dudes. No one has like blonde. No one has like a brownish hair like me. You know, it's like it's straight up. Everyone has this exact haircut. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I had no idea. But that is how you can identify a Penn State fan from a mile away. So
keep that in mind. I like the picture you sent me. They all look exactly the same and all have the same exact hair.
Look up the Penn State quarterbacks. And then, like, think about Penn State quarterbacks throughout history, like Trace McSorley, right? And, like, you know, I don't know who else to even have. I always just think about Trace McSorley because of that one song. They kind of look like Sid from Toy Story. With like slightly
like a more Chad version of Sid,
but yeah, look, Google Sid Toy Story. I don't know what it's like. It's the eyebrows. I think it's the kind of look evil, sort of. And I get it. I'm mad, right? I'm not in a good place right now. But there's something to it, man. There's something to Penn State phrenology that I think is worth investigating. So.
I will say, you know, one note I wanted to make about the game is that you guys, I mean, we kind of talked about the ACC earlier, so I think we should also bring the Big 12 and the new pack into this conversation.
Yeah.
That really the privilege of playing in those conferences is not having to play three top five teams.
Seriously! Dude, we're playing, we played Alabama this year, Penn State, and we're playing Oregon in 2 weeks. It's just ridiculous.
Who's now number one.
Who's now number one. And, I mean, Oregon may or may not be fraudulent, but come on, man. Like, it's... Like, if, yeah, I mean...
But the thing is, these games actually will make you better. If you notice, you really blew out your competition that was, quote-unquote, on equal footing, and that may be a little bit worse than you, but you actually blew them out. But I think a big reason you blew them out is because you're actually getting tested. When you play a top five teams and you have an okay team... It really tells you exactly what you need to do to take the next step, and you can actually start actively working towards that.
Right. I mean, honestly, I guess that is, like, the one hopium I have for all this is, like, I don't know. Like, it seems like when you go from playing a team that disciplined and talented as Penn State and then face Iowa the next week, we play Iowa next week. I mean, knock on wood. Like, there a certain... It's like running downhill, man. You know? It's like the wind is at your back at that point. That's kind of how I'd like to imagine it is for the team. So, yeah. Fingers crossed, man. We don't have Big 12 privilege here. Nor do we have ACC privilege of playing nobody. This is kind of how it is, you know? I mean, Bama has to play LSU next, right? Like, that's not fair. That's not cool. But that's, you know, that's just kind of how we roll. So...
It is how we roll. One play against the best.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll go ahead and move on. We talked about this game a lot. Ohio State 21, Nebraska 17. Why does Ohio State always get away with this?
It's crazy, isn't it? Because they never actually lose these kinds of games, do they? Do they?
They don't.
Like when they lose, it's because they get like shockingly blown out by like Purdue or Iowa. But they don't like in a close game.
Close game versus poor competition.
To be fair,
if it's a close game against better competition, they'll win it.
Right. It is Nebraska who is like the best team at losing by one touchdown. Right? Like, they're kind of notorious for that. But even then, like, I watched most of that game, and I just wasn't that impressed. Will Howard especially, man. Like, I'm looking at the stats now. He only had 13 completions all game. I mean, they threw the ball 16 times. I don't know why Ohio State is just, like, choosing to be so conservative with their offense. Especially with Chip Kelly on board. Like, why? They should be putting up 50 points in this kind of game. As the number four, quote-unquote, team in the nation, right? Like, Ohio State, you'd kind of expect them to be putting up Bama numbers, right? That, like, Bama put up against Mizzou this weekend. But no, it's just a very conservative, boring Ohio State team that, I don't know, I think they'll be exposed in due time against good competition.
They do play at Penn State this coming up, week, so we'll see how that goes.
We'll talk about that. That's going to be a huge game. Other games this weekend, Randy, you saw? Of note.
The only thing I'm going to say about Texas 27 at Vanderbilt 24 is that was my Super Bowl. We can go ahead and move on from that.
Vandy losing was your Super Bowl. Congrats. That's awesome.
Yeah. LSU and Texas A&M played also in the ninth slot. We kind of talked about that. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I don't have a whole lot to say about this, but I noticed our defense does this thing where we absolutely feast on mediocre quarterbacks, but then get destroyed by really good quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that sounds... obvious, but it's very much exaggerated with our defense.
Yeah.
Garrett Nussmeier, really, I don't know what to think about him. He could technically put up decent stats, but then he just does not show up when he needs to.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw for 400 yards.
Compared to Jaden Daniels, I mean, you saw the Hail Mary there on the Sunday night.
Yeah.
I mean, Garrett Nussmeier strikes me as kind of a transitionary quarterback. Like, LSU's waiting for the next big name probably to come on through and then maybe make a run for it. But yeah, I mean, based off that Texas A&M game, at least what I saw of it, I hate to say it, man. I think Bama's going to crush LSU next weekend. I thought LSU would have a chance, but man, they got blown out by A&M. So, I don't know. Is A&M good? Like, am I...
Yes,
what's
they
going
are
on
definitely
here, man?
Good. A&M is like the Penn State of the SEC.
Really? That's interesting.
Well, they're, like, they're pretty good, you know.
Hmm. They had that big loss to Notre Dame to start the year, and I mean, since then, they haven't really played anyone too great. It's hard to say, man.
I wanted to actually, this reminds me of a topic I wanted to bring up.
Sure.
So let's say we have a situation where A&M has one regular season loss, Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Alabama has two losses, but we win out.
Oh, boy.
We don't play A&M this year.
Right.
A&M loses in the SEC championship game to, I don't know, Georgia.
That's probably going to happen, yeah.
Who gets in the playoff, A&M or Alabama?
It depends on whether or not Texas is undefeated heading into A&M. Because this assumes that A&M beats Texas.
That is correct.
Because I think if A&M has that win over Texas, they shoot up in the rankings quite a bit. Probably unearned.
I just wonder... The main point of the question is, how punished is a team going to be for going to the conference championship game?
I don't think at all. With the 12-team playoff, I don't think losing the... I mean, it almost didn't matter in the past with the 4-team playoff, unless you're Wisconsin. But I think that losing the SEC championship, like, this quote-unquote second-best SEC team, whether or not they are is debatable, but whoever finishes second of the SEC is going to make the playoffs, I think, no matter what.
That's true. That's very true. Because there's no more divisions or anything.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, really, in my scenario, the more I think about it, the more the answer is way more obvious, where it's both teams are going to go.
Probably. Bama, I mean, if you're Bama and you are Bama, win out and you're probably in. I mean, let's face it. There's going to be two lost teams. Like, there are going to be two lost teams in the playoffs. Like, the math just kind of works out that way, right? And so, I don't know.
There was one point. Okay. I know you're talking about the math right now.
Yeah.
There was one point where the announcer said something, and I literally said out loud to my wife, is this guy high? Because
come on,
he was talking about, really, the reason Bama fans are so upset, it's not just how they lost, it's who they lost to, losing to Vanderbilt. Maybe. I mean, they'd probably be so much happier right now if they had lost to Georgia and then beat Vanderbilt. And it's like, no, that is not true at all.
The ceilings.
We would... It's about your ceiling, exactly. And I think that's what the committee is going to be looking for, is what does your ceiling look like? Could you really avoid losing to bad competition and kind of coast by on a mediocre schedule? Or did you actually show the ability to beat the top teams?
Look at Clemson, right? They lost their one
exactly.
test.
And people are talking about Clemson for a good reason, and that's exactly why, because
we know
they haven't beat anybody.
If they face someone tough in the playoffs, they're going to just get exposed again, you know? So... Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting in the coming weeks. I mean, Bama, I think that LSU, for what it's worth, this is really like the last possible loss in the regular season for you guys. I mean, Oklahoma, Auburn, Mercer, come on. Like, OU and Auburn
Oklahoma's
are so...
down helps.
Oklahoma, again, as, you know, the Bama hater guy, I was really looking forward to Oklahoma, Alabama, just like in general. Like, that sounds like a really big matchup, doesn't it? Alabama versus Oklahoma, but dude, Oklahoma sucks. Did you watch the Ole Miss game last week?
I did, and Oklahoma just looked halfway.
God, they need a new coach. I think they're gonna get. I'm not gonna say it.
You're not gonna say it.
Not gonna say it.
P.
But I know. I don't know if they got boats and oars in Oklahoma.
Because it looks like Hugh Freeze might be buying himself a little bit of leeway at this point.
Hugh Freezes, you know, so I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Another game we needed to talk about. We really actually need to bring them up. Posty, the resident Indiana fan, listener. Shouts
out to Posty.
He said, stop ducking Indiana. You got to talk about them. And he's right. Indiana, at this point, the dream season is more than just a quote-unquote fluky dream season. They're 8-0.
It's crazy.
And granted, the competition, they beat They have never looked bad in a game.
I'll give them this, right? They're not playing anyone good, but they are taking care of business, like, comfortably, right? They're blowing
out
basically everyone.
They're beating slightly above or maybe average teams the way you would expect Ohio State,
yeah.
a good Ohio State team, to beat
yeah.
these teams.
Yeah, exactly. And it's crazy to think they're currently first place in the Big Ten. It's like...
They are.
What's crazy... Like, I think what's crazy to me is there's a world where Indiana loses to Ohio State but still makes the Big Ten championship game. Like, the math could work out that way. And so, like, yeah, again, it's like, well, does the second best Big Ten team not make the playoffs? I don't know. Because, like,
but here's the thing,
you know,
though. Like, you're talking about that Ohio State game as if Indiana is like almost like a foregone conclusion. But
yeah.
I really think Indiana has a great
Dude.
Shot against Ohio State.
That'd be amazing. That'd be so cool. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm curious what their ceiling, because we keep talking about ceilings at this point. But, like, I really am curious what their ceiling is. Because, like, I'll say this with Indiana. Most of the time when teams don't play anyone good, I immediately accuse them of being fraudulent, right? It's just kind of your go-to gut reaction. With Indiana, they haven't played anyone really great yet, but I want to see them play someone great just to see how good they are. Like, I want to know at this point, like, is this real or not? You know what I mean?
We're going to get that opportunity. I think the Michigan and Ohio State games are going to be really good metrics to really kind of know. I know Michigan's down, but
yeah,
they
Michigan's
have a lot of talent. I mean, they're still a 5-3 team. They're not bad.
True.
But... it's going to be curious because the quarterback position is so extremely important in today's college football that with them having such a decided quarterback advantage in the Ohio State game, it's going to be very interesting.
Curtis Rourke. Is that how it's pronounced?
I think so.
Who is this
Curtis
kid?
Rourke.
What's the deal? I'm looking at his stats right now. So he transferred from Ohio, not Ohio State, Ohio. He's got 74% completion percentage.
Jeez.
15 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. How is Indiana good? Like, I don't understand it, dude. It just doesn't make any sense.
That's the thing, is it's not like they have some extreme amount of extra. I know they have Kurt Cignetti now as their new coach, and
yeah.
he brought a bunch of players from James Madison over.
Okay.
So, like, but still, these are James Madison group of five players that were playing a little bit above their weight now at Indiana.
Yeah.
They, you know, it's almost, it still doesn't make sense to a degree, but
yeah.
hey.
I don't know.
I'm happy for them. I mean, this really shows that great coaching,
yeah.
solid coaching, and a great quarterback can
yeah.
take a team really far 100%. And give them an actual shot.
They're kind of, Indiana, I mean, this is, you know, this ties into you guys kind of a little bit, but Indiana kind of reminds me of Washington last year at this point. A little bit. Where it's like, they're clearly not as talented as the competition, but they've got a great quarterback, and they just keep winning. Like, I don't know how, they just
the
keep winning.
The roster is good enough with the
yeah.
great quarterback and great
yeah.
coaching.
Yeah, so shouts out to Posty. We concede. Indiana's good. You got me there.
Indiana is good.
Got me there. All right.
All right, so the Missouri-Alabama game,
yeah,
I just wanted to say
yeah,
there's not a whole lot to say about this, but don't be fooled by the shutout. They had their backup quarterback, Drew Pine.
Drew Pine? Wait,
famously
Drew Pine?
Getting yelled.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Drew Pine.
He's
famously yelled at by Tommy Reese over the phone in the Notre Dame game. That was really very funny.
Notre Dame legend, Drew
but
Pine.
I just can't feel good about this game.
Yeah.
Because it's like, come on, dude. It's Missouri with a backup quarterback, and they're,
yeah.
you know, yeah.
We've hated on Mizzou all season long. I mean, hey, you know, winning against anyone, putting a shutout against anyone is not easy. But yeah, I thought Mizzou would at least put up a fight. I thought Mizzou would score at least. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't think it'd be as ugly as it was.
I'm proud. I love the fact that DeBoer. So I will say this: DeBoer at one point, it was like 4th and goal at the 1 in the
mm-hmm.
fourth, later in the fourth quarter,
mm-hmm.
and they sent the starters back out on defense to try to preserve the shutout. And I respected that. I was glad they
really?
Did that to kind of just force them to fight a little bit. So I really like to see that our defense has improved a lot for the simple fact that now. And early in the season, I mean, you have to understand, we have like 3 true freshman
yeah.
defensive backs, a very young defense, inexperienced. They were doing a lot of giving a lot of simple looks on defense, just basically playing base 4-3 and refusing to ever play anything other than that.
Yeah.
And they were trying to slowly over time give a little bit more complex looks. And it's not the type of improvement you're going to necessarily see week to week.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, while they were developing them, You know, their main goal was just don't get beat deep. Don't give up big plays. That would naturally result in these, like, freaking 8-minute long drives that were very frustrating to watch. But it did serve the purpose of helping develop our defense while making sure they never got really beat on big plays.
Yeah.
But now we're seeing, if you look at the difference, if anybody watches defense football and knows about defense, watch our defensive looks we give versus Missouri compared to even the defensive looks we give versus Wisconsin. It is night and day. How much more complex our defense looks.
Interesting. I mean, that's certainly going to come into clutch, you know, come playoff time. Coming up soon.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I mean,
picking at the right time, that's what it's about.
Yeah. It'll be fun to see Bama this weekend. I think that's... LSU is going to be a good, like, benchmark. Like, okay, where are we right now? I think, regardless. You know what I mean? So, should we move on, Randy, to games next week?
We should. I am ready.
All right, let's go for it. Let's do these quick, because I want to get to the questions. Then we got fan mail this time around, so I'm looking forward to answering that. Yeah, Randy, what games stand out to you this week? Usually the schedule.
Ohio State 6-1, Penn State undefeated, 11 a.m. at Penn State. Just give me a pick. Who do you think's going to win?
Ohio State.
I hate to say it.
Yeah.
I really hate to say it.
Yeah.
It's got to be Ohio State. No matter how fraudulent they look, they always just beat Penn
State.
Yeah,
they always beat Penn State. It's just these things happen, you know. If they didn't have names on the back of their jerseys or helmets, you know, Penn State's a better team, but Ohio State's going to win.
Well, we can do a little bit of rapid fire on the games unless we have anything specific.
I like the rapid fire format.
Okay.
Let's keep it going.
Duke is sitting at 6-2 and travels to Miami, who is still undefeated 8-0, sitting at number 5. Do you think Miami keeps it going? Do you think Duke can kind of scare them a little bit at least?
Like I said a few weeks ago, if we're talking about Miami, they're going to win. The week Miami loses is the week we don't talk about them. So Miami wins this one. It's true.
I think you're kind of right, but maybe the rapid fire is almost not talking about them enough, where it kind of accidentally... I just feel like this is one of those games for no good reason. I feel like Duke would just pull an upset, and Miami loves to choke. So
they do. But it's at Miami. It's an early game. Cam Ward's too good, man. Cam Ward's too good to lose to Duke. You know,
he's just so cool looking.
He's too cool. He's too cool. All right, what else we got?
All right, so at 11 a.m. we also have Minnesota 5-3, quietly improving their season, turning around at 5-3. Plays at 6-2 Illinois. Think Minnesota is able to continue winning some games and quietly have a decent season going into the Wisconsin game?
No, they do not. And here's why. I don't know if you're aware of this, but at Illinois, the fans are calling for Illinois to build a statue of Brett Bielema. So, I mean, you know, good luck beating that.
At least make the Big Ten championship first, dude.
Illinois is done.
I'm not even asking you to win it. Just make it.
Illinois is done, dude. They're done. But they will win this game. I mean, Minnesota, it's kind of funny. Like, who have they
played? Minnesota beat USC and you couldn't do that.
So here's the thing, dude. Okay, here's the thing, Ban. We played USC when they were still... They had a spark in them. You know? Like, USC still had life when we played them. You know what I mean, man? And, like, USC...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
They, like, it's a Lincoln Riley team, dude. It's the kind of thing, like, the moment they're eliminated from the playoffs, they're done. They're checked out. And they've been checked out since that Minnesota game. And so, like, yeah, I would like a rematch with USC. I think right now, if we played USC at home, we'd win. No doubt. We'd win that game. Sorry.
It does feel like Minnesota fans, they almost, okay, I know we have a Minnesota listener, shout out to Rodown, but I almost feel like they act like almost like a miniature version of Auburn basketball fans.
Yeah, there's a lot of parallels, man. There's a lot of parallels here. So I am rooting for Bert, my arch nemesis, to win this one game. And I have faith in him to do so. So that's my rapid fire analysis on that.
Here you go. Vanderbilt travels to Auburn. Vanderbilt's 5-3, Auburn's 3-5, and Auburn has admittedly looked much improved on both sides of the ball. Peyton Thorne has stopped throwing so many interceptions, and Auburn's turning, I hate to say it, into a scary team with some of their performances. They've had some great performances where they just kind of give it up in the fourth quarter. It is what it is. They've had a rough season.
I feel like...
Do you think this is the year? Hold on. I got a good point.
Okay.
Do you think this is the year Auburn finally gets over the hump and finally has a winning record versus Vanderbilt all time?
Come on. Do they really? I'm going to Wikipedia right now. Do they actually have a losing record?
I think they might be tied.
Let's look it up. Auburn versus Vanderbilt. Oh, my God. Yeah. Randy, you're not going to like this.
Did they finally pass it up?
Last year they did, yeah. Auburn has 22 wins. Vandy has 21. But Vandy can even the score, right? Vandy can even the score here this year. Randy, it's funny to me to think, like, you have to be rooting so hard for Vanderbilt this game, right? Like, on like multiple levels. On multiple levels, you need Vanderbilt to win this.
It's an 11:45 a.m. kickoff, too, which is very interesting.
That is odd. That's odd. It's at Auburn. I don't know, man. Like, they beat Kentucky, I guess, but Kentucky's not good, right? Like, I know they got talent, but yeah.
Kentucky has certainly struggled.
To me, this is a coin flip. I really have no dog in this fight, unlike you. So I want to hear who you think is going to win.
I think the triple option little thing Vanderbilt does might really throw Auburn off. It's going to be a very close game. I don't want Auburn to win, but...
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Ah, give me Vandy.
They're never going to do what I want.
Give me Vandy. Hugh Freezes. I think he's gone. I think he's gone this year. So,
I think he bought himself another year, to be honest, with how they look really better, and Auburn fans are going to be okay with that, I think.
Okay. So. They love Hugh Freezes, I know, so...
They do.
I don't know.
All right. We have Oregon 8-0 traveling to play at Michigan 5-3 at 2:30 p.m. Oregon's traveling across the country.
Exactly.
I mean, how much do you think that plays into the game? Because they had a home game versus Illinois last week. Do you think traveling across country is going to hurt them?
I actually do. I'm going to give my lock of the week, and this can be crazy.
Ooh.
Michigan's going to beat Oregon. I really believe that Michigan beats Oregon. I think Oregon is fraudulent, and I'm putting biases aside because I know they're a Big Ten team, right? I should be happy that the Big Ten has the number one seed, but like, man, they really rubbed me the wrong way. Everything about that program, that school, that state is rubbing me like it feels like a kid that like cheated on his test and like is showing off. You know, like he got like fake A's on his report card and is like demanding a pizza party from his mom. It doesn't feel real, does it? Like, does Oregon feel real to you?
Not real. I know. I get what you're saying. I remember I made the comment about Minnesota fans seeming like Auburn basketball fans.
Yeah.
I really think Oregon fans actually fit the bill a little bit more.
Yeah.
Hey, get it? Fit the bill.
It's the arrogance against they hate. It's man. I don't. It's like no love lost. Oregon hates the Big Ten in a way that like Washington doesn't and USC doesn't. And UCLA
they hate
doesn't.
The Big Ten almost as if they're an outsider. But
like
of
you,
the
you chose to join
a genuine rival type of way with teams inside the conference.
Like you chose to join this, so why are you hating on the Midwest? Why are you like not even remotely trying to assimilate to anything here? It's just a weird. God, it's a weird situation. Like, and I think the only way they're ever going to fit in is if they are humbled eventually. Like, we need a team like Michigan to, like, kick their ass and, like, you know, beat them in a game that ends, like, with a score of 10-3. You know, to really get a real taste of what it's like. Man.
So. That would be very satisfying. As much as Michigan, you know, yeah. I don't have any positive feelings towards them. I get what you're saying. I agree.
Yeah, we need it.
Let's move on. All right. So we'll move on next. I don't know if there's anything interesting to say about the Florida-Georgia game. I think Georgia's going to comfortably win that.
It's not a real rival.
Florida has looked better. We have 5-3 Texas Tech at 7-0 undefeated number 11 Iowa State. Is this the week they finally go down?
God willing, dude. Iowa State, I'm disgusted that we're even talking about this team. I'm sick to my stomach thinking about it. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to give them any more airtime.
I'm just going to be honest. You know, I hate to say this. I don't want to offend any Iowa State listeners, but I just feel like, yeah, sure, they're technically undefeated, but I still think they're like the fourth best team in the Big 12.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's unbelievable the amount of Big 12 privilege they have over at Iowa State. That's what I'll say. Yeah.
Big 12 privilege, not playing three top five teams in a year.
Yep. That's all I'll say. What else we got, Randy? Rapid fire.
Rapid fire. I am just going down the list. Let's see.
I've got a game. How do we feel about Louisville?
Oh, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay, never mind.
We have 5-3 Wisconsin. Yeah, 5-3 Iowa.
Yeah, we're gonna
talk about that.
No, we're gonna win. So I'm not. I don't know. There's not much.
I have a good feeling about it for you guys too.
There's not much to discuss. We're gonna win. Let's just leave it at that. So,
yeah. Whenever I've seen Wisconsin play, I get a vibe off of them that's a more battle-tested vibe. I mean, playing top five teams is one of those things where it's either going to break your team and you're just checked out for the season because you just give up and you realize you're never going to be good enough, or you get a little battle-hardened and you are a little bit more motivated to try to improve. And I think Wisconsin has actually tried to improve and seems... They look like they want to play. They looked like when they were playing Penn State, they looked like they believed they could win.
We didn't give up. Like, even, I mean, they really owned us in the fourth quarter. But, like, at no point did I get the sense of, like, this team's checked out, you know? And I think that's...
Meanwhile, Iowa played Ohio State and lost 35-7.
Exactly. There was no... They checked out very early in that game. So, yeah, I've got a really good feeling about it. I'm not.
And that kind of like gritty Midwestern fight in you is probably going to definitely get you over the edge.
Yeah. I'll say one final thing. Kinnick is the most overrated stadium and like quote unquote tough place to play in the nation. And it's not even close, I don't think. It is so incredibly overrated. There's nothing to be scared of in Kinnick, period. I don't get scared of Wisconsin playing there at all. Leave it at that.
Okay. You know what I just realized? This is kind of like weird for me to say. I just realized we have a bye week, don't we?
Wait, what? I wanted to see Alabama play LSU. Why are you guys...
I'm not sure we played out because I know we had a... We have a bye week. Okay. Wow. We have two bye weeks this year. I did not realize that.
All right. Well, enjoy.
The reason I thought it was coming up was because we had the bye week right before Georgia. So I was like, okay, you know, that's our last bye week. But no, we have a bye week before LSU. That's probably... healthy for us.
We get a bye week the week after this, which will be good because then we host Oregon, by the way. So
I will say I do actually like the fact that there's two bye weeks in the regular season. I feel like it's very necessary for teams to really heal up and play at their full potential. Yeah,
exactly.
I just think for the sport of football in general, like if you want to keep it physical, you have to give the teams and the players more bye weeks to really help them heal up. Because like think about it, we were talking about Milrow earlier, and one of my concerns was, is he really going to have a chance to heal up? Because he has the Missouri game, then he has LSU, and then Oklahoma is at least going to be tough. You know, they have a good defense, and then Auburn is tough and physical at the very least, even if they're not very good.
Right.
But the bye week changes this whole conversation now.
Yeah. No,
we can actually probably have a better shot at seeing the best version of Alabama. And I guess this goes into a conversation of what do we really want football to be? Mm-hmm. Do we want it to be like a game of attrition throughout the course of a season and who can survive it all? Mm-hmm. Or do you want it to see who can really peak at the right time and hit their ceiling in a very skillful way? Right. And attrition is not going to get them because they're going to get enough time to prepare and not always be playing at like 60% of their, you know, physicality because of injuries.
I will say, you know, I agree with you. It is kind of unfortunate we have to play a team like Penn State when they come off a bye. Whatever. I'm not saying things would have changed, but
you kind of want to... The thing is, I think that a lot of... I get what you're saying. I think some of it is mitigated. Like, players are more willing to put their body on the line if they know they have a bye week coming up as well.
That's true.
So that can kind of mitigate that a little bit. And I think that's what we were actually seeing from Milrow, because he ran it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But you could tell he was not quite... Like, you could tell something was off. A wheel was kind of loose a little bit. But he at least tried, and I think knowing he has the bye week probably is the reason he was willing to test it a little bit more.
Sure. I want to get one more game in here. I did mention before, Louisville-Clemson. Is this the game? We need Clemson to lose, like, one more game, right? We need them to lose one more loss. But no, you don't think so?
The fact that I don't know the Louisville quarterback's name is why it's not.
Let me look him up. They got, yeah, his name is... Tyler Show? He transferred from Texas Tech, and he transferred to Texas Tech from Oregon. So we got a former Duck here, folks. Wait, he played... What is going on in football? He played for Oregon in 2020. Was he their starter in 2020? Man, this guy's like a seven-year senior. This is just...
A seventh-year senior. Yeah, he was their starter in 2020.
That's ridiculous, dude.
That's actually hilarious.
That's ridiculous.
If you're a seventh-year senior quarterback and we don't know your name, just from hearing it, then yeah, go to State Farm and get a job.
Get a real job. Get a real job, bum.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Clemson's going to win.
Okay.
All right. Should we get to the fan mail? Should we get to the fan mail? Really?
Let's get to the fan mail. So I posted today. Anything you'd like us to talk about on the podcast, go ahead and post now. I have a few funny comments. I'm going to go ahead and make the funny comments, too, that I got.
Okay.
I got, we'll start with Banana Joe.
All right. Shuts out.
Translate this into that in 1 year. Downs went from best safety in the nation as a freshman to just an average safety in the Big Ten. And he directly is comparing Bray Hubbard to Caleb Downs, who is a new defensive back for us, who we have actually discussed this, that our safety play has actually looked better now that Caleb Downs has left. Mm-hmm. Now that he's in the Big Ten, he's looked kind of just average. And I don't know what the deal is with that.
I think it's an Ohio State problem. I think it's a Ryan Day problem. I think it's, Bama players do still have that edge, I think. Even with Saban gone, there's certainly moments of that, like, kill everyone mentality, right? We saw it against Georgia. Ohio State, dude, they're just boring. They're just coming into work and leaving, 9 to 5. That's the vibe I get from Ohio State, period, this year. There's no energy. It's a low-energy team, and I think we're seeing that with Caleb Downs.
With you. I like that I've actually changed your mind on this. Me and Josh have changed your mind on this, because you used to say that about us, and we're like, nah, dude, our players want to kill the other team. That's why they do. Completely destroy their will to live, and we want to give the other team an existential crisis as to why they even bother dedicating this much time to practicing just to get beat that badly. That's the mentality our players have. It's a little psychotic, but that's genuinely how our players think sometimes.
Yeah, Ohio State's soft. I think that's my analysis.
That's the TLDR of it.
Yeah.
All right, we have from DK. Riley Leonard is playing like a Heisman candidate right now. If he keeps up the pace, he's on for the rest of the year. If he keeps up the pace, he's on for the rest of the year. He's getting an invite to New York.
Is he, though? I don't know, man.
He has played okay. He's
got 8 touchdowns on the season.
He's got to have more than 8 touchdowns.
He's got 8 touchdowns on the season, guys. What does Braden Locke have?
Okay, is he a dual threat quarterback? Hold on.
If Braden Locke has more touchdowns than Riley Leonard, then no.
He has some rushing touchdowns too. Rushing touchdowns.
I think the thing with Notre Dame is they would have had to have gone undefeated. I think that's just kind of Notre Dame's problem with their schedule this year. They haven't really beaten anyone great, other than maybe A&M. And so there's just not that moment. We always talk about the Heisman moment. I just don't think that Riley Leonard's going to have an opportunity to, have some crazy comeback, fourth quarter drive kind of a thing, right? And so, I don't know. I think Notre Dame would have gone undefeated for him to be seriously considered.
He's not a Heisman quarterback. Yeah. I just got to be honest. He's a great, above-average quarterback that can keep the ship afloat for Notre Dame. That Texas A&M win in week one is going to do them a lot of favors going forward.
With A&M being actually kind of legit, for sure. DK, I'll say this. I think if Notre Dame's probably making the playoffs. So you got that going for you. That's way more important than getting an invite to the Heisman ceremony, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, we have from Maladroy. Every week, the entirety of the podcast should be dedicated to the discussion of the mighty ULM Warhawks.
What's going on with ULM?
They're 5-2. They just lost to South Alabama. They had only one loss before this.
Is ULM the team that you guys lost to in 2007?
They are the team we lost to in 2007.
Wow. I mean, do you have any bad blood against them because of that? Or is it what's the Alabama
fan? I feel like it helped. It was our Joker moment where we were Batman's parents getting killed moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. That was me this weekend against Penn State. I'll say this, Maladroit, we probably should talk a bit more about the Sun Belt, shouldn't we, from time to time. We never talk about Sun Belt teams, except maybe James Madison.
I wish Group of Five teams games were a little bit more accessible. I don't know if accessible is the right word, but
half of these are on ESPN Plus, you know?
Yeah, it is kind of hard to keep up, and it's hard to know exactly what's going on with what's important and, you know, who's going to have a shot. I feel like it would be well served for certain TV networks to maybe display Group of Five teams a little bit more prominently, and just to talk about them as spoiler teams.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have some spoiler teams. Cincinnati a few years ago was a good example.
It'll be interesting.
Boise State's a great example. Yeah. Like, we actually saw Boise State against top competition, and they should be talked about more.
Well, that's
the
thing.
And they have a legit Heisman candidate.
That's
they
the thing.
They should be talked about more.
UL Monroe did play Texas this year, and they lost 51-3. So it's like, well, when you get destroyed like that, it's pretty hard to, you know.
Well, think about it like this. Think about it like this. With the team, we're going to talk about the Group of Five for a little bit. Boise State. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a team in the country that you look at Boise State playing them and think, nah, Boise State doesn't have a chance?
Maybe Georgia. That's maybe Bama. That's probably
maybe.
That's probably about it. They could beat almost anyone. I believe that. I believe their ceiling is high enough that they could.
There is so much more parity in the sport now because recruiting is so much less concentrated. Plus, we have the portal and NIL and everything, right? So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Boise State is somebody you have to actually look out for. It's not just, they're cute. We'll give them an invite.
Yeah. No, they've got that kill everyone mentality that we talk about. So, definitely, you have to respect that. You have to.
From Outer, our guest from last week, why this will be the year Penn State takes down Ohio State. We'll talk about it. How about this? We'll talk about it in the context. If Penn State wins, why did they win?
It's because Will Howard sucks.
It's because they benched Drew Aller and kept their backup.
Yeah, maybe the backup actually could, like, I actually like that. Do you think they start him? Do you think they start the backup?
I think they're going to start Aller. I think they're going to start Aller.
If it's like halftime and Penn State's down, they got to put in the backup. That's my take.
They're not going to. That's the thing. They're not going to.
James Franklin's too stubborn to change, you think?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's a very big coaching decision to make that's going to get so heavily scrutinized if it goes wrong.
Because as far as I'm concerned, Penn State's backup is probably like way better than Will Howard. Will Howard, I don't think would even make it in like the Canadian Football League. Like I don't see Will Howard making the XFL, you know? Like I literally cannot wrap my mind around why Ohio State went out of their way to get Will Howard this year. I'm like flabbergasted at how bad he is.
Yeah, he is not very good.
I'm such a
From Josh, we have talk about Penn State in big games and why or why not. This one is different. Or it's not different. The reason it's not different is because I just don't have any reason to believe it's going to be different. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's with Penn State in big games and being the Texas A&M of the Big Ten.
Yes.
You got to prove me wrong. I got to see it to believe it.
They're going
to
lose by like 7 and it'll be close and it'll be a fun game, I think, from like a neutral perspective. But they're going to, you know, they're going to lose by 7 points. And like they'll probably have
a chance. Have a response to this.
What do you think?
Outer actually responded to this and said, this one is different because the 12-team playoff, the result doesn't really matter. And it would be really ironic for us to finish in the top 4 the year after the playoff expands.
That is true. That is a good point, Outer. I'm not going to lie. I don't know. Penn State can win this game. But I think if Penn State wins, it has a lot to do with Ohio State losing. I don't really believe in Ohio State this year, like at all.
Is Ohio State going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, they have. They've kind of got that. No offense, Randy. They've got that Bama thing going for them, where they can lose 2 games and get in on name recognition alone. And if Ohio State's 2 losses are to Oregon and Penn State, like they probably still deserve it. If we're being real, I just don't think Ohio State's
going to get left out. They don't get as much goodwill as we do. To be honest with you, I don't think they do. And part of it is like, I think the voters are going to see the same thing we're seeing, where it's like, what? We're not seeing a good ceiling from them. I mean, granted, they played Oregon very close. Mm-hmm. I get it. I guess I'll be curious to see how they play, you know, against Penn State and Indiana. I don't know.
We'll get a better idea. But right now with the eye test, bring back the eye test, folks. The eye test tells me that Ohio State is kind of just winning on talent alone, but the moment they face a talented team, they struggle. So good luck in the playoffs. You know?
I mean, you say struggle. I don't want to describe a 1-point loss on the road to the number one team in the country as like struggled.
I do.
You know what I mean? Because like they've shown that they cannot rely on Will Howard, and they can get him certain looks to be able to win the game. They were winning the game going into the fourth quarter too.
Which makes their loss even more confusing. You know, I don't know. I don't think they have the clutch factor that's needed to win these playoff games. It felt kind of like that playoff game against Georgia a few years ago, where Ohio State was actually kind of dominating and then just completely blew it in the fourth quarter. And that's just kind of how I think a lot of these games are going to go for them against good opponents this year.
I'd be curious if any of these change with the new found parity we're seeing in college football.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it's going to affect certain perceptions and how certain teams play down in the clutch. Mm-hmm. Georgia's going to have a few less 5-stars than before, while Ohio State might have about the same amount, for example.
Yeah.
Same thing with Bama not having. They might have 3 or 4 less 5-stars.
Sure.
But Ohio State might have the same amount. I wonder if that's going to affect things. Same deal with Oregon. They're going to have the same amount, and everybody, the playing field is a lot more even. So I'm going to be curious how that clutch factor plays into everything.
Yeah. We'll find out. Any more questions here in the mailbox, Randy?
I believe that's all we have. We were specifically asked not to talk about Florida State.
And
so
we did not talk about them at all. This whole
we didn't bring them up one time.
So thank you. Welcome to Lowbro. But next week, they're going down. I'm just kidding. I think that about wraps it up, Randy. I think we've talked about pretty much everything here. I hope you enjoy the bye week. Got any plans for the bye week? Enjoying a nice, like, relaxing weekend, I'm assuming, of college football for you?
I get to watch the games and relax a little bit more. It's actually going to be very nice because I have so much stuff I have to get done. I have some in-real-life important things going on that are going to be very nice to get some extra time.
There you go. And, I mean, I basically have a bye week with playing Iowa. So, I mean, you know, we'll see. But I think it should be another fun weekend. I'm looking forward to that Penn State game. The more we talk about it, man, Ohio State, Penn State, that should be a fun one. And hopefully lots of fun games. Folks, thank you for listening to the Jim Podcast. This has been so much fun. And as always, Roll Tide!
Wisconsin.